Okay.
Good morning, David. Slow Mickey.
Morning. Okay. So we're going to look at Sholem Rav again. Rabbi Rosner Sefer. And he starts with the first pasuk, El Devorim Asher Diber Moshe B'nei Yisroel. These are the, we could say, exact words that Moshe said to all of Klal Yisroel. Moshe's departing words. Again, this was said from a period of about 5 weeks. It's Mishneh Torah. It's called, even though it's not really a Mishnah, complete repeat of other things. And he says, let's look at the uniqueness. He quotes the Vilna Gaon that says that the first four Sforim, Brachos to Bamidbar, were dictated exactly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Mordechai. He says this is something that's the Ohel Yaakov in Penim Bin Mishulchan HaGrasa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking from Moshe's mouth, something that was totally unique. Any other prophet basically paraphrase what Hashem told them. And only in Sefer Devarim do we get the change that Moshe speaks, and later on HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, record your exact words. The Ramban says that the actual content of Devarim was actually given to Moshe within the first 2 years following Matan Torah, but Moshe only enunciated now because this was the time it would apply. The various mitzvot in Devarim, right, do say, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, did make these commandments to Moshe to transmit the message to Klal Yisroel. So, Rabbi Rosner says, well, let's look at this. What it really means, he says, the mitzvahs in Devarim were given to Moshe Rabbeinu decades earlier, and Moshe now enunciates. Because now they're going to apply. These have a specific volume of mitzvot that will only apply to those going into Eretz Yisrael. He didn't repeat Tumah and Tahara. That applied before. He did warn against getting involved in Avodah Zarah, because that was always a danger. He did talk about strengthening their belief in the Rabbona Shel Olam and about the specific mitzvos that apply once they're in Eretz Yisrael. The other mitzvos, he says, are emphasized for importance, where there is in fact a repetition. Then he quotes Arisha in the Radbaz, who says that Moshe would not have been allowed to withhold these words for 38 years. The Radbaz says, I don't know why Hashem chose only certain mitzvos that were going to be in the body of Sefer Devarim, but he said, he believes that Moshe only got the communications at the time, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have in Devarim. Now, like everything else that we see in various areas of Chumash, people don't agree. The Ksav HaKabbalah quotes the Gra saying that the first five psukim of Devarim set out the structure. It says, these are the words that Moshe spoke to all of Eretz, the Kalal Yisrael. Well, Pasuk 1. Pasuk 3. It came to pass in the 40th year that Moshe spoke. And in Pasuk 5, where? On that side of the Yarden, Moshe began, as we said, Be'er, to clarify in great detail the Torah. He says, these represent three parts that make up Sefer Devarim. The first four chapters is Mussar and Rebuke. Moshe recounts the history and the mistakes made and encourages us to always remember that we have a special bond with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and presumably not to repeat mistakes in the past. He says, from Pos Perike, the fifth chapter, to the middle of Kisavo, we have numerous mitzvos. And he says that included in here are the brachas and the klalais, the curses and the blessings, and the covenant now made with Am Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he says, this is what Dibur Moshe spoke also indicates. Moshe spoke Mussar, Mitzvos, and the Bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. He says, it's interesting to note that the first word in these three sections correspond to the first word in the previous three books of the Torah. The first word in Devarim is the Eileh Shmos. The first word in the section is, right, Vayikra, first word in Vayikra, and the third section, right, is the word Vayidaber. Vayidaber Hashem opens up a midbar. And he says, one could maybe say that Mishneh Torah means repeating these three openings. He quotes Rav Chaim, he says, who was a brother of the Maral Miprag. He said he has a drush based on the names of the parshias in the Sefer. He combines the name of each parsha into one sentence and says, these are the Devarim, important things about to be discussed, so I beg of you, Veschanan, to pay close attention to what I am about to Akev disclose. Pay close attention to, which means Re'e, these insights. When one judges, Shoftim, before one goes out, Kiseitze, to judge others, a person should turn inward, Kisavo, and engage in introspection so that he may confidently stand, Nitzavim. Then he can go forward, Vayelech, positively influence others, because then others will see the sincerity and listen. Hazinu, they'll listen. And this will bring a bracha, the Zeis HaBracha. Okay, so he goes back to the first pasuk. Elu hadvorim, these are the words Moshe spoke on the Transjordan in the plain between Kor and Tovo, Lavan and Dichatzot. And he says, even when we read the first pasuk of the Parsha, we see Moshe mentions different locations along the journey through the Midbar. Because they'll tell us these are allusions to earlier problems, and he was trying to give the nation Musa rebuke for previous errors. And we're told by Rashi, Arava is the Egel, Soron the Meraglim, Tofel, complaining about the mud, Chatzeret is Chatzeret of Chatzeros is Korach, and Dizahav is of gold, the Egel. The Gemara says the allusion to Dizahav a bit differently. Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the riches you gave Klal Yisroel until they said, die, enough, that's what gave them the raw material to make the ego. They had been slaves, and all of a sudden, in their new environment, they're showered to become millionaires overnight. He says, that's much too much for a human being to be able to withstand the Yetzer Hara. And he says, Moshe, in effect, said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Egel arose because you spoiled them. Rav Asher Weiss says, was Moshe giving rebuke to Klal Yisroel or to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or was it both? On the one hand, he says, Moshe was telling Klal Yisroel there were errors along the way. But on the other hand, he was saying, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I have to defend them. They were in effect overcome by a Yetzer Hara based on reality. Rusher Weiss says, whenever we're trying to improve ourselves or others, as a parent, teacher, friend, and we want to tell them something that they did was not perfect, there was a problem, you've got to raise them up. You've got to accuse them, and you've got to excuse them. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, with the left hand, push them away, give them the criticism, and with the right hand, grasp them and bring them back. Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate messenger of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to us. From Hashem's point of view, Moshe, in discussing and alluding to these spots, was giving Musar. But from our point of view, he's standing in front of us and behind us, protecting us. And he says, that's the lesson that Devorim, the first pasuk, should give us. It says in the pasuk, Vayetze me Oig Melech HaBashan likraseinu. Oig, the king of Bashan, came towards us. Vayomer Hashem Eli al tira isa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do not fear him. Ki bi'ivcho nasati oisai v'yas kol amoy v'yas aishai. Because I have already given to you him, all his people, and his land. He says, Oig Melech HaBashan is brought back here. He was initially in Sefer Bamidbar mentioned by name, and we're told by a Medrash that he held on to the Teva on the outside in Bayat's time, and he is the one who told Avram Avinu that Lot was captured. Hashem told Moshe, don't be afraid of Oig. Why should Moshe have any fear of him? Moshe had already dealt with the superpowers of the world and vanquished them. And he points out, Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about the schar, the reward he still had because of what he had done in telling Avram to save Lot, even though he did it so Avram would get killed and he could marry Sarah. He says, of Avigdor Nebuchadnezzar says, Moshe devoted his entire life to Klal Yisrael. And like Kambi Yisrael Kamoshei, nobody ever arose in Klal Yisrael like Moshe. And yet initially, he had a fear of the protection Og may have. And he asks a simple question. In a conquest between Og and Moshe, who should a Kodesh Baruch Hu, in our minds, favor? Moshe's deeds should have clearly outweighed anything Og did in his one positive act. And if Nebuchadnezzar says, the answer gives us an amazing message. We are unable to fathom the schar, the reward, and the koyach, the power of even one mitzvah. Even when we do it for strictly ulterior motives and with negative intent to hurt someone, he says, we cannot understand what a value a mitzvah has. And he says, therefore, we've got to look again at Pirkei Avos, Perek Bey's Mishnah 1. Be careful about a simple mitzvah as with what you think is a important mitzvah. Many Mefarshim suggest that a tzaddik gets rewarded for mitzvahs in Olam Haba, but the Rasha gets his entire reward in this world, so he does nothing left in Olam HaEmes. Maybe that's what Moshe feared. Og's so-called tainted mitzvah in our world would still give him the power to overcome Moshe. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, no, it's not going to happen. Rav Rosner says, stop for a second, and he says, I myself will think and try to realize the importance and significance of every mitzvah. We wear tzitzis even for a few moments during the day. We give the money into the Pushkin Shul every morning. We act like a mensch. We welcome someone with Shalom Aleichem. We say hello to our friends and ask them how they feel. He said, we may call this a small mitzvah, a small effort, but he says, in Shamayim, we have no idea what this action has done, what great reward is stored. Moshe had bona fide fear of Oig's merit for his one tainted mitzvah. And Rabbi Rosner concludes by saying, may we all excel in doing mitzvos so that our schar can dwarf whatever a tainted mitzvah can do. And I always remember what the Chafetz Chaim said over 100 years ago. He said, in his day, it is so difficult to do a mitzvah that the schar our forefathers, his forefathers would have had, is magnified so many more times by the greater Yetzer Horos we seem to have. Which is an amazing concept, but is also similar to this. Looking for something. Okay. Some of the other things we will look at in this week's Parsha is the very fact that we have in Rishon, right? Echa, the pasuk is Echa. How can I bear you all your troubles, etc., which is an allusion to the laning, right? In of Echa on Tisha B'Av. We're going to have comments on the establishment of Sanhedrin and the way the entire justice system was set up. We're going to repeat the story of the Meraglim, the spies, and the decree that happened. Then we're going to jump 38 years and talk about other battles and things that occurred. And there will be other aspects later on in the Parsha. I think I'm going to stop here. And tomorrow, I think what we're going to do for the... A sec.